So this is Pentecost Sunday, and it's a day of this extraordinary importance in the life of the church. The meaning of which I think has become really darkened and obscured. And I'll say why in a minute. Is a celebration of God's animating power. That's the metaphor that the Jews always use for the Spirit, or the Spirit is the metaphor, rather. When they talk about the Spirit of God, they're talking about God doing things in the world, making things alive. And why I said this is important for the church is that extraordinary statement of Pius XI to a bunch of Canadian seminarians in the last century had become to loom larger and larger in the life and the experience of the church today. Remember, he said that the body of Christ has become a monstrosity, whereby the head is enormous and the body has shrunken. The Feast of Pentecost, if we understand it, belies that. And the whole impulse of the Second Vatican Council, which unfortunately is being reversed in instance after instance after instance today, is becoming more and more remote to us. What does it mean that God has sent the Spirit? God has sent the Spirit on everybody. On everybody. In other words, we do not have a trickle-down doctrine of the Spirit of God, but rather when we appropriate the meaning of these texts and the whole tradition of the church for the first 1700 years, is that the whole church is animated by the Spirit of God. We don't have to take our marching orders from the bosses, in other words. And whole business of what it is to be a boss is radically reshaped when we come to understand that the Spirit is given to everybody. I think experientially this is very remote from my experience of the church. If anything, the church is seen as an absolute hierarchy with levels, castes, divisions. And not just divisions of labor, as Paul constantly talks about when he refers to the action of the Spirit of God, where different people have different jobs. But a caste system of superior and inferior. And this is tragic. And we see the tragedy played out over and over again today, especially in the whole business of the pedophilia thing. If we did not have an intensely clericalized church, the problem of pedophilia would have a much different shape than it has today. It's as simple as that. What is a clericalized church? A church precisely in which the Spirit is allotted in larger measure to one group and a tiny, 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 less 1% of the entire body. And everybody else, the action of Spirit is simply going to equip us to listen more sharply and to obey with more alacrity. That's not what it's about. And as I said, it is really unfortunate. This book that I mentioned several times already by Ladislaus Orsi, this great canon lawyer, where he points out that even when the Code of Canon Law was revised in 1983, 20 years after the Council, This clerical mindset was ensconced in the terms of the law. And this is a radical reversal of the tradition of the millennia-long tradition in the church. In other words, we are being incapacitated by this. And therefore, the shape of the church in so many details The Vatican Council spoke of the Church, first of all, as the people of God, the inspired people of God, the inspirited people of God. And only later in that document on the Church did it then go to say, well, there are a variety of jobs in this body. Well, it doesn't look that way. Pius XI was dead on, and unhappily, his successor, Pius XII, John Paul II, Benedict XVI, have only done more, it seems to me, to, in a very real sense, extinguish the Spirit of God in the lives of us Christians. The happy exception to that, of course, is good Pope John, where he enlivened again the sense that the Spirit of God is all over the place. The Spirit of God is in our Protestant sisters and brothers. The Spirit of God is in the Jews. The Spirit of God is in the Muslims. The Spirit of God is operating even in the atheists. In other words, he's given us a whole new set of coordinates to recognize the action of the Spirit of God, which is liberating, enlivening, enlarging, making more generous, making more kind, making more honest, making more courageous, this body that we are supposed to constitute. I decided to say last Sunday, and I said it very badly as I listened to the tape, what the Ascension was. The Ascension says that everybody on this planet is going to get justice from God. Everybody. Most especially all those nameless, unknown, unloved human beings who are going to die, you know, anonymously, facelessly. No, no, God has not forgotten that. Everybody is. And that same kind of, if you will, democratization is present in the whole business of the sending of the Spirit, too. We are the possessors of the Spirit of God. We are the possessors of the Spirit of God. Something that is certainly not part of my consciousness, I'm afraid. And Paul enjoins us to stir up that spirit. It's not a spirit of slavery. It's not a spirit of cowardice. It's a spirit of recognizing ourselves as full participant members in this body of Christ. And that's why Pentecost is so enormously important. And that's why some of you may think I'm harping on the pedophilia thing, but it's the elephant in the living room, folk. And if we don't recognize that, and we don't recognize the causes of that, which is largely this clerical division in the church, then we're not going to, as everybody says, move on. You know, move on. We can't move on until we recognize where the problem lies in the first place, seems to me. Pentecost is a terrific day. Pentecost is an occasion for us to think again, to recognize our own identity as full participant members of this body. Because until we do, I'm afraid we're not going to be activated. And it's that awareness is itself the action of the Spirit of God. This is who you are. This is who you are. And therefore, this is what you do. If you are recipients of God's Spirit. It's for everybody. It's for everybody. It's for everybody. It is the Spirit of everybody. I don't know, I've been reading all over the place about this stuff, and the upshot of my reading is this terrible sense of frustration. The church, in its first 1700 years, 1800 years, for instance, the election of bishops was not a papal prerogative. The determination of the coloration of a local community was not the result of some hierarchical diktat. And now we're going to have a new translation of the Mass text, apparently next Advent of next year, which virtually all the English-speaking bishops have objected to. And it's going to be imposed on us. That's not the way the Spirit of God operates, folks. I mean, I bring this up because we have real problems. I don't know what to do about it. But until we recognize that we really do have a problem, that the Spirit of God is calling us to be and to act and to do. So that the Feast of Pentecost is a kind of alarm bell, an urgency for us to think about what the implications of the Spirit of God in our lives is. What those implications are, rather. And I should warn you, by the way, that the music for communion is going to be sung by the Blind Boys of Mississippi, a song written by Aretha Franklin, entitled, Did You Receive the Spirit in the Dark? Good question.